And good morning. Welcome to hour three of Rosie on the House. And we're broadcasting live from the front courtyard of the Hacienda Inn in downtown Prescott. A little bit about the Hacienda Inn. It is officially on the National Trust of Historic Hotels. It's currently celebrating 85 years of one of the Southwest premier landmark hotels. You know what Hacienda means, Rami?
Yes, I do.
You do?
I do.
Hacienda. Is that Spanish?
No.
Okay.
It's Indian.
Okay. All right. You're right about that. Good, good. Keep going.
You want me to give it away?
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead.
Well, if you've ever eaten in Wickenburg.
Yes.
The story's on the back of the menu at most of the restaurants, especially. So I wish I could say I read this in a history book, but it was back of a restaurant menu. I think it's El Charles.
Hacienda, an Apache word that means river that loses itself. Hacienda Inn has hosted, since opening in 1927, certain celebrities like Tom Mix, Will Rogers, Greta Garbo, Clark Gable, Joan Rivers, Kim Basinger, Alec Baldwin, Hugh Downs, the Beach Boys. Huh? And in 1925, this is how the hotel was built. The Prescott Kiwanis Club selected a committee to raise funds for the new project. They asked Mayor Morris Goldwater to head up the committee, and they sold stock to 400 stockholders at $1 a piece to raise the money to build this three-story red brick building on the corner of Gurley and Marina. Right here, coming into Prescott, you can't miss it. So if you're heading up this way for the Phippen Art Western Art Show and Sale, you'll see us. We'll be broadcasting here through 11 o'clock.
And we've had a great opportunity over here. I believe this is the Peacock Room, this banquet
hall. The dining room.
Well, the Peacock Room is the dining room down
dining
here.
Do you know what this building is on the next side?
Yeah, it used to be the telephone building.
But the Chamber of Commerce has their breakfast meetings in there. But in there is where they're judging the art show competition. So this whole time, we've been watching people come up Gurley Street that are carrying their artwork, walking over into the next building to the north on the Hacienda. There's just been some really vibrant colors, some horse drawing, I mean, everything you would expect from a Western art show. We're getting a good preview just sitting
here watching. I was watching Rosie hitting his cough button, drooling.
Oh, man. Hey, if you'd like to join the conversation this Memorial Day weekend, 3-day weekend is a great opportunity to knock out some little project at the house that's just been nagging at you. It gives you an extra day to get it done before you have to be at work. And if you've got that project you'd like to get it started or want tips or advice on how to get it done, how to get it finished, give us a ring at the toll-free number 1-888-767-4348. And we're joined here this morning in Prescott by our Rosie Certified Full Service Design Build Remodeling Contractor, Tom Riley of Renovations. And Tom, I don't know any better way to introduce you to our listening audience. You've been on before, but I don't think they ever get tired of hearing your story, how you got to Arizona. Would you mind going back and wheeling back the pages?
Oh, boy. Yeah. Those pages are becoming thicker and thicker and farther away, too. When I left New York, I graduated school, architectural school. And
part of New York?
Long Island.
Oh, really?
Oyster Bay. Oyster Bay, Long Island.
Can't get more New York than that.
No, I'm from Long Island. I can fall back into my New York accent. It just comes natural to me. But the thing was, I left there and looking for adventure, in the early 20s, and I landed at a place
Not the 1920s. Your age was the 20s.
My age was the
20s. Okay, I just want to make sure I got that.
I look pretty good for being born in the 1920s, wouldn't I? And I stopped. I was going to do a workshop at a place called Arcosanti. And I spent the next 5 years there doing the rest of my internship with Paolo Soleri. And then moved to Prescott. It was just, it was time to leave Arcosanti, and I came to Prescott and started a construction company and got my architectural license. And I ran an architectural company and a construction company for years until I saw the light and realized that about 10 years ago that I was doing a lot of remodeling. And nobody else wanted to do remodeling, and I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
So I rebranded the business from Thomas Riley & Associates Architects and T.F. Riley Builders to Renovations.
Okay, now look, you've got to help me here just a little bit. Being a fan of Arizona history, peel back the tent. Let me look inside. What was Arcosanti like? I mean, because you had to be there at the very beginning.
No. I was there. I came in there in 1978, and that had already been in place for about 9 years. It was rough living. It was camping basically, for me the experience was like traveling the world, because we had people from workshops that would come from all over the world. At that time, even behind the Iron Curtain, which was there for those of you who remember.
Yeah,
that.
That's right.
I got to meet all different cultures, all different people from different countries. So it was like traveling to these places, getting a dose of their culture, except the world moved and I didn't.
And the plan was students would come and show up and arrive at this, and it was a work. Did they actually pay for the privilege to work there?
Well, you know, you could put it that way. Moreover, I mean, it was an experience there. It was a great experience, too, for people in a workshop. You did participate in the construction of Arcosanti. And at the same time, though, there were a series of different seminars and things that we would do in order to be able to make it a pretty enriching experience. A lot of it was, you know, sort of immersion into what Soleri's philosophies were in terms of not only just the architecture, but just things in general.
And I grew up just down the street, literally almost across the street from Cosanti mm-hmm. in Paradise Valley at Doubletree and Invergordon. That's where I grew up. So, you know, I knew his daughter, Danielle. She mm-hmm. went to college, to high school with us and stuff like that. So it was always interesting to watch and kind of get inside his head a little bit about what he was actually trying to. I thought he was just a wind bell maker for a long time.
Well, he did that too.
What's the basic concept of
okay.
Arcosanti?
All right, give you the 2 minute tour. I used to do tours there. Arcosanti. Well, arcology. It's an arcology is what they would call, and that's the blending of architecture and ecology. And the whole idea was to create a three dimensional city that did not have cars and roadways in it. If you can think of the efficiency that you would have in an urban environment, if you took out all the roadways and the buildings were all somehow connected to each other, you know, and you did, you know, pedestrians, mostly walking, but in large cities there'd be, you know, different means of transportation, golf carts, whatever you want to do, segways. We didn't have that back then. But the whole idea was to create an urban environment. And Soleri felt that in an urban environment is where human beings tend to evolve socially. And because we human beings living in, you know, the hunter-gatherers coming together, forming cities, that's when we started to flourish in terms of ideas, arts, and what have you. So the thing called the urban effect, by bringing these people together, you would start to flourish in different ways. People would start to come different things. It's kind of like, you know, the mix. You're putting people into the mix, and you're getting new things out, new ideas, solving old problems, discovering new problems, that kind of a thing. And also a very energy-efficient building. It's much easier if you position the building correctly. You can heat the building. He calls it the two suns arcologies. You can heat the building with the sun and using a lot of natural energy. And it was a way of living lightly on the land.
You pile that many people in one building, and there's kind of a lot of natural heat anyway, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I can. I mean, some people would say that, you know, it's crazy to do that. But, you know, there are people who like Romeo. We like living out, both of us like living out on our own.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of people who enjoy an urban environment, and it never was meant to be the answer. It's meant to be another way of putting it together.
A talking point, yeah.
It's meant to be another way. It's an alternative to the Phoenix, the sprawl in Phoenix, the two-dimensionality of that. It's another alternative, and that's the way I always looked at it.
And Arcosanti actually is intended to develop into being a working model of this concept, right?
Correct.
Is there an end date?
No, it's not. There are a variety of different things, and everybody says, you know, well, it's not going to succeed until it's, you know, until it's finished and what have you.
Yeah.
And there have been a lot of different things that have gone on. You remember the Peachtree Center in Atlanta, the Bonaventure Center in Detroit.
Yeah,
you know, all those things. You start looking; those are basically arcology-like buildings.
Sure.
They're three-dimensional, very large-scale buildings that have mixed uses in them. Where, you know, like just in an arcology, you would expect, you know, your classroom might be three doors down from where you live, the place that you're living. And things would be mixed around, and it's just that whole mix of things that you get. It just becomes a very vibrant, active area.
Well, and I think in master planning certain communities, we're seeing the mixed use become more and more prevalent all the time. We're seeing it a lot down in the valley.
You know, I would recommend to anybody who's interested in this, read Jane Jacobs, The Death and Life of American City. And she'll talk, you know, she'll convince you that it's the mixed uses.
All right.
And mixed uses is something that we always used to do until we got kind of pristine with our zoning.
Yeah.
And now, you know, we're going back the other way.
Yeah. Well, let's go to the phone calls. We've got a few people on hold waiting to talk to you and us as well. The number, if you'd like to join the conversation and you have a question about home remodeling, home maintenance, or home improvement, jump on at 1-888-767-4348. Let's go real quick and talk to Kenny. And we have Kenny, welcome to Roseanne Now. Real quick, what's your question?
Pressure-treated lumber. Went to a big box store and picked up some 2x4s and 2x6s and did a small pony wall project, ground contact. Inspector come out, wrote us up, said it's not ground contact approved. Went back to the big box store, and they said, oh, absolutely not true. Two questions are, I'm not getting any help from the retailer back on it. And how many different grades of pressure-treated lumber are there?
Well, that's a good question. I'm not familiar with very many grades. I'm just the one Walmanized pressure treated. But it is not. Whoever I think at the big box store is telling you it's rated for ground contact. I don't know of any. The only pressure treated wood I know that is suitable for ground contact would be railroad ties.
Creosote treated. Yeah, creosote treated wood.
Yeah.
And even railroad ties, creosote treated, they're down in contact with the ground for very long. They decompose. Just come out to my place and I'll show you a few.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm sorry to say that I think you're getting bad advice where you're buying it. There isn't a lumber treated so well that can actually live, according to code, in contact with soil. We like to see it at least 8 to 12 inches above grade at all times. So, Kenny, I hope that helps. We've got Clark on hold. We're going to have to take him right after a short break. It's Rosie on the House here broadcasting live from downtown Prescott with our good friend Tom Riley of Renovations.
And if you'd like to join the conversation, it's 1-888-767-4348.